All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, for the message this morning. We are in the process of renovating a lot of things around here. One of the things we did the pews and the carpet and they're working on the heating and air conditioning system, which is a huge job and is taking longer than we imagined. They are also working on all the lights and getting a new panel and all this stuff. So when we came in here for the early service this morning, they were all on. I mean, all of them. Every one of them. And it was about 1,000 degrees up here behind this pulpit. I'll probably look a little sunburned from all the lights that were shining down on me. And they were able to get them all off except for that one. That one over there still on. And hopefully we get all this squared away. We better get it all working before the living cross, wouldn't you say? But it was hot. It was hot. So I'm glad they were able to. Kevin was able to work with Clyde and get them off, and we thank the Lord for that. So anyway, I'm happier second service than I was early service. All right, let's look please at Matthew chapter 9 this morning, and I want to read a couple of verses. This is a familiar passage of Scripture. I've preached from this chapter several times through the years, but I saw a little something this week that I trust will be a blessing to you. The Lord is in a ship, and he's coming across the Sea of Galilee. He's coming to a certain town, and there is a woman that we're going to read about here, starting in verse 20. If you will look at verse 20, it says, And behold, a woman which was diseased. So this woman has a physical problem. She has a physical condition. All right, so what is her disease? Well, look at it. It says, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years. So 12 years this woman has been suffering. She has a condition where she can find no relief. All right, so she came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. So the Lord is walking, and this woman who is suffering now and has suffered for 12 years, she comes in behind him, falls to the ground, and touches the hem of his garment as he goes by. Now you say, well, Pastor, why did she do that? What was she thinking? Well, that's where the next verse comes in. Look at the next verse, verse 21. For she said within herself. Now, let me stop right there. Look at me. Have you ever talked to yourself? Now, I know some of you do because I've watched you. She talked to herself. And here's what she said to herself. This is amazing. Look at this. She said, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. If I could just touch the hem of his garment as he walks by, I can be made whole. In verse 22, it says, but Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. All right, let's pray together. I want to speak to you this morning from that statement in verse 21 where it says that she said within herself, and I want to call the message this morning, talking to yourself. Talking to yourself. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask now your blessings upon the message. Thank you so much for this passage, and thank you for telling us about this woman and her faith and what the Lord Jesus did for her as she exercised faith in him. And Lord, I pray you'll help me as I preach the message. Give me clarity of thought. Help me to have just exactly the right words. And Father, you know who needs to be saved here this morning. You know every person in this room. You know every heart. And so I pray that your word will speak to hearts and draw folks that need the Lord to the Lord Jesus before it's too late. So fill me with your spirit and give me your power and help me as I preach and give all of us ears to hear, and we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let me ask you again. Do you ever talk to yourself? My mom used to say to us that it was okay to talk to yourself. But she said, don't ask yourself questions and then answer them. People will look funny at you. And we've all seen people talk to themselves, haven't we? I guess we all do it. I suppose all of us at some time or another talk to ourselves, probably a lot more than what we realize. Now, of course, we all realize how tremendously we are influenced by the words of others. When others are talking to us, those words can impact us. We all know that words can hurt as badly as blows. We've all seen folks that were just crushed by words that came out of someone else's mouth, especially when they're not expecting those words. But if wrong words can do endless harm, right words can do endless good. There's a lot said in the Bible, and you can see the Bible speaks often about how words impact us. Others' words impact us. The wisest man that ever lived outside of our Lord, Solomon, said, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver." There are words that have the power to just grab us. And they can shake us. They can wake us up. They can get us out of our slumber. They can awaken us to wide-eyed alertness. Words are powerful. When some tragedy strikes us, it is often the comforting and encouraging word of a friend that lifts us and keeps us going. Maybe when our feet are in a slippery place, it is a word of warning from a friend or from a loved one who will say just the right thing to keep us from doing something foolish. Let me remind you that it was one of Job's three friends, one of Job's friends, who said to him, "Your words have kept men upon their feet." Boy, that's a pretty good compliment that was given to Job. Few greater things could be said about any man. So we should learn to be really careful with the words we say to each other. For our words have power to hurt, or our words have power to help. And most of the time, we don't stop and consider that before we just blurt something out. So if what we say to each other is important, I think what we say to ourselves is even more important. tell me what you have been habitually saying to yourself, and I'll have a pretty good grasp on telling you what kind of person you are. Tell me what you say to yourself, and I will pretty much be able to tell you what you're likely to become. You see, the most important things we say are the things we say to ourselves. Now, let me illustrate that. You remember the rich young ruler that came to the Lord Jesus and he asked the Lord, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord began a conversation with this fellow. Now, this young man was no doubt quite successful, an honorable young man. There's no doubt that he was upright in his intentions. But when you hear him talking to himself, it becomes clear that he was not what everybody thought he was. You see, you would have thought that he would have been thankful and that he would have thanked God for God's abundant blessing upon him and all the crops that he was able to harvest. And you would have thought that he would have been praising the Lord for how good the Lord had been to him. But that's not what we read about him. Instead, he has no sense of obligation to the Lord, and his only thought was how he could conserve all of his wealth for himself. He said to himself, I will pull down barns and build greater barns, and there I will store all of my goods. And I will say to my soul, ah, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. And we call him the rich young fool because of what he said to himself. He didn't give God the glory for anything. He instead was only looking out for number one. And it was by his conversation with himself that this man showed himself what he really was, a fool. And we know him today for what he is because of the conversation that he had with himself. Now let's go to the text, and I want you to look at verse 21. And in verse 21, the Lord says, for she said within herself. There are three things I call to your attention. Number one, I want you to notice with me what this woman said to herself. Verse 21 says, for she said within herself. Before I tell you what she said, let me have you notice first what she did not say. I think if I know her correctly, and I think I do, she could have probably said some very distressing things to herself when she spoke to herself. You see, her physical problems were serious issues. If you will look at verse 20. Verse 20 says, behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years. Now, folks, this problem that this lady had was a serious matter. For 12 years now, she has been the victim of an embarrassing and a humiliating condition. How could she go outside and have a normal life in a nation under the law of Moses where a woman with her condition was considered under that law to be unclean? Think about it, folks. The law said that a woman with her condition, an issue of blood, is unclean. That means she's not welcome at the synagogue. That means she's not welcome to go out and socialize. That means that she is not permitted to go to the temple or the tabernacle and to worship. She's unclean. She is to stay away from people. She's unclean. So how could she go and have any kind of a normal life under the law of Moses where her condition makes her, declares her unclean? Think of this. Her condition has robbed her of almost every joy that a young woman could have. About the only vocation available to a young woman 2,000 years ago in Israel under this law, about the only vocation available to a young woman in her day was to be a wife and a mother. And her condition caused her to be unclean and unfit for either vocation. You with me on this? You see, don't just read it, blow over it, and miss the heart aspect of this. This girl has no life. She has for 12 years now been housebound. She is suffering under this affliction. And so while talking to herself, she could have said some pretty distressing things about her terrible plight that life had dealt her. But she doesn't. We see her driven by faith, not by fits of despair because of how life has treated her. Neither does it appear that she is bitter or that she is holding some grudge against life. She may have said to herself, you know, I'm so tired of this. I'm suffering, but it's not because of anything on my part. I've spent all my money on doctors and I've tried to do everything I can. I've tried to be well, but there's just no use in trying anymore. She could have said that to herself. What's the use in going on? She could have had herself a little pity party and felt that she had been cheated in her life. Have you ever said that? Have you ever said, boy, life is just cheating me? I just cannot win. It's just not fair. How many times have we said that? Oh, life is just not fair. Well, folks, I got news for you. Life is not fair. So the next time you try to use that life is not fair as an excuse, it's not an excuse. You're right. But listen, it's not fair for you, and it's not fair for the person sitting across the aisle from you either. So we can't use that as an excuse for anything. I'm telling you, folks, this would have been an easy conversation for this poor woman to have for herself. But thank the Lord, she didn't. And if she had have spoken to herself in this manner, she would have either sunk to being a complete hermit in her own house or she would have found a way to end it all. But thank the Lord she didn't say that. So what did she say to herself? Well, I think this is kind of neat. Here's what she said to herself. You ready? She said, I'm sick and I need help. That's what she said. I'm sick and I need help. But I'm not dead yet, so I'm not giving up. And I like that about her. Now, how'd this happen? How did this whole scene unfold? I don't know. Matthew does not describe it for us. Luke gives us a little better understanding, but Matthew, just brief little insert of the story. I can, in my mind though, use my imagination. And I see her standing, watching as a crowd assembles. And she wonders to herself, what are they doing? And so she walks over and taps someone on the shoulder and says, why are all these sick people gathering here? And someone turns around and says, Jesus is coming. Jesus, I've heard that name. Oh yeah, Jesus, he's the one that has healing in his hands. And word is, he's coming here. And so here are all these sick people gathering, and they're hoping that as he passes by, he will heal them of their disease. And that woman is standing there thinking, well, boy, I sure need that touch. I need that touch. A woman said to her, look at all these. These all have some ailment, some affliction, and they're waiting on the miracle worker that is coming. There is just something about him. He has healing in his hands. And it's at that point that she begins to talk to herself. She says, well, you know, if he can heal others, he can heal me. If he can help that fella over there, he can help me. But, oh, I'm under the restriction of this law and I'm considered unclean. There's no way I can approach him. You see, religion was keeping her from Jesus. Are you listening? I wonder how many people religion keeps from the Lord Jesus. Would you think on that? Maybe if I could just slip around behind and just touch the hem of his garment. And folks, this brave woman literally talked to herself and talked herself into touching his garment as he passed by. I like that, don't you? I'm thinking back to October of 1970. And I'm thinking of when I was sitting over on the right-hand side of the auditorium. And I remember as that preacher was up there preaching the gospel, and he said, whosoever will may come. And I remember sitting there thinking to myself, I don't deserve to be saved. I deserve to go to hell. But, you know, maybe if I could just get to Jesus, maybe he would save me. And you know what? I got to him and he saved me. I wish somebody sitting here this morning would start talking to yourself. And I wish you would sit here and just say, you know, Pastor, if I could get to Jesus, I think he could help me. Hey, I know he could help you. If he saved me, he can save you. There's a second thing I want you to see here. I want you to see what the outcome was. What was the outcome of this daring conversation this woman had with herself? Don't miss this now. Don't miss this. I want you to notice that by talking to herself, she kept alive her hope. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. That was her hope. That was her hope. If I could just touch, You know, folks, when we give up hope, we're all but done. We're all but done. If you think you are beaten, then, hey, you're beaten. If you think you're whipped, you're whipped. If you have been knocked down and you are convinced that you're never going to get up again, you're likely just to lay there the rest of your days. But this woman, even though 12 years had passed, she was not about to stay down. She talked herself right into keeping hope alive. And she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And I submit to you, that was in her mind the least thing she could do. When she had this conversation with herself, she did not say, if I could just get him to talk to me. That's not what she said. She did not say, if I could just get him to reach over the crowd and touch my hand. She didn't say that. She did not say, if when he passes, he'll just make eye contact and wave at me. She didn't say that. What she said was, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. You see, folks, she had hope that Jesus didn't have to do anything. She would do what was going to be done, and she would reach out and touch the tassel on the bottom of his garment as he walked by. And you know, I just wish that somebody sitting here this morning would just have a little conversation with yourself right now and ask yourself, can Jesus help me and my life? You sit here today with an incurable disease called sin, and that disease, if you don't get help, is going to kill you. Would you realize, dear friend, that today you need help, and realize that if you will just reach out and touch the hem of his garment, he will make you whole if you'll just reach out. There's hope for you, in other words. Man, that's good to know, isn't it? There's hope for you. Talk to yourself for a minute and keep hope alive. There's hope for you if you'll just reach out to the Lord. And by keeping up her hope, she was able to keep up her struggle. You see, there was no doubt a good-sized crowd that had gathered here. How is she going to get Jesus to notice her? I can see these desperate people, and as soon as Jesus starts coming, they flock around him. They're 5, 6, 10 deep. What is she going to do? And he is walking towards the house where this little maiden has died, and the people are walking with him, and he's healing as he goes. And I can just see her standing there thinking to herself, what do I do now? I've got to get to him. The combined crowd is so much stronger than she is. So she comes in behind, gets on her knees and her hands, and as he passes by, she just reaches out and grabs his garment. Bang, instantly, she's healed. It was a struggle. It was a struggle, but her hope kept her struggle alive. And when she touched him, she got what she was looking for. I'm sure that she was stepped on, or maybe even kicked in the side, or she had a finger stepped on, but she struggled until at last she was able to reach out and touch his garment as he passed by. And folks, when she did, she was healed. Not by a finger, but she was healed by faith. So by talking to herself in terms of faith, she finds the healing for which she so diligently sought. But even more than that, she found something even more precious in that she found healing for her heart as the Master made her whole. Amen. And then thirdly, number three, let me ask you, what are you saying to yourself today? You know, as I said in my introduction, we all talk to ourselves. So what are you saying to yourself this morning? And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, there are some people who, when they talk to themselves, the things that they say to themselves are to their detriment. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, I mean, some folks talk to themselves and they just give alibis and excuses to themselves. Well, Pastor, I will get saved one of these days, just not now. Well, why are you waiting? Oh, well, I'm young and, you know, I want to do this and I want to do that. And I got plenty of time, Pastor. After all, I'm only a teenager. I'm only in my 20s. I'm only in my early 30s. I got plenty of time. I'll get saved one of these days. I have plenty of time to make my calling and election sure. But right now, no, I got time, Pastor. Folks, you'd be surprised how many people through the years have told me that. In the first church that Karen and I served in, there was a little community down in the central part of West Virginia. And there was a river that came through our town. And where the center of town is, about 3 or 4 miles, was the community where we planted this church. It's still there today. And it's not a very big place. The houses are separated from each other quite a bit. Not a busy place at all. And I thought, as the new pastor, since they all knew one another, and they did, you could be standing on the porch of the church and somebody would drive by and they'd wave as they went by. And you'd say, who's that? They would tell you who it was, where they lived, where they worked, how many kids they had, how many times they'd been married. I mean, they knew everybody. And I would say, who's that? And they'd tell me. So I thought, well, you know, probably I ought to get to know these people like everybody else knows these people. And so I just started at the center of town and I knocked on every door in that community. I'd just been the pastor for a few months. And I knocked on a door. Lady opened the door and I recognized her immediately. She had been coming to church. And I said, she said, oh, Pastor, she said, my husband's not here, but he went to the store. He'll be back in just a minute. Have a seat right here on the porch. We'll talk till he gets here. 2 minutes, he showed up. He got out of the car, picked up the groceries, came, nodded his head, didn't even speak, just nodded his head. He knew who I was. Walked in the house. I thought he'd come back out, but he didn't. His wife said, I don't guess he's coming out. I'll go get him. She got up, went inside. He came out. He was mad when he walked out the door. He knew why I was there. And he looked me square in the eye. He said, now, preacher, you understand this. I don't have time for God. I said, okay. I just want to serve notice on you. I don't have time for God. He said, I've got my business going, and I'm trying to get this thing going. Want to have a good, strong business for my family, and I don't have time for God. And he turned and he walked back in the house. His wife apologized. I'm so sorry, she said. I said, well, it's all right. We'll just pray for him. Folks, it was not a week. And the phone rang. And it was the wife. She said, "Pastor, he's had a car wreck. He's over at the hospital in Parkersburg. Would you go see him?" So I got in the car and I drove over to Parkersburg. When I went in that room, they had him in a bed, in a halo, upside down, about that angle. His head was down here. His feet were up here. And he had fractured some vertebrae in his neck from whiplash. And I walked in, and I didn't know how to do this, so I just walked over and I stood like this with his head right here. And I tapped him on the arm, and he opened his eyes. And when he opened his eyes and saw it was me, the tears started streaming and running out the back up here where his head was tilted. Just tears flowing. Couldn't even speak. And I just stood there and held his arm. And after a few seconds of sobbing, when he could speak, he looked up and he said, "I guess I've got time now, don't I?" And I said, "Yes, sir, you've got plenty of time now." And I took out my New Testament, went through the plan of salvation, and led that man to Christ. He got saved. Now, he never got to come to church. You know why? He couldn't get out. When they brought him from the hospital home, they had to reconstruct the bedroom. They had to build a bed so that it could hold him and keep him tilted so his spinal fluid didn't run out and kill him. Oh, he never got to serve the Lord. He never got to go soul winning. He never got to join the choir. He never got to play on the church softball team. He never got to go to the cake fellowship. He never got to go to any of the activities. Now, he'll be in heaven one day. Praise the Lord. We need to talk to ourselves. We need to ask ourselves, why'd God put me here? Are you here just for you? Or are you here for His glory? That's something we need to consider, don't you think? My friend, if you can talk yourself into defeat, you can talk yourself into victory. This woman did. She said within herself, "And if you will just sit here this morning and say, wow, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, He could fix me up right now. If He helped this woman, He can help you. If He saved me, I know He can save you." So would you talk to yourself this morning and talk yourself into doing something wonderful for your eternal soul? And if you're going to talk to yourself, tell yourself that which will benefit you. Don't make excuses and give alibis as to why you are not yet saved. Speak to things to yourself that will ultimately be for your benefit. What if she'd have stood there and said, "Well, I would get to Jesus, but that crowd of people, they're in my way." No, she went around the crowd. And she got to Jesus. "Well, I'd be saved if it wasn't for Christians." Quit looking at us. We're not the role model here. Look to Jesus. Amen. You'll not find any fault there. You look at us, you'll find fault. Don't get me started. I could go on for hours. But if you look to the Lord Jesus, you'll never be disappointed. Now, let me remind you in closing, let me remind you of another fellow. You know, the Bible's filled with people that spoke to themselves. Let me tell you about another one. We call him the prodigal son. Remember him? And he sat on his daddy's farm one day and he started dreaming about the bright lights of the city. He looked over at his aging old daddy and he thought, "You know, Dad's a fossil. Dad's an old fuddy-dud. He's holding me back. He's keeping me from enjoying life. So he went to Dad and he said, Dad, I want my inheritance. I'm going to take off for the city. And so Dad, brokenhearted, gave him his inheritance and boom, he was gone. And he got to the big city and it didn't take him long to waste everything he had. Remember the story? But the Lord tells us that one day this prodigal had a conversation with himself. Sitting on the fence of the hog pen. I bet that smelled good, don't you? Sitting on the fence of the hog pen, watching the hogs and him starving to death, was sitting there looking at a husk, not even a corn cob, but the husk where they pulled the corn out, threw the husk over and said, here, go feed that to the hogs. Hey, there's no nutrition in the husk. The nutrition is in the corn. Amen. And he's sitting there looking at that husk thinking, man, that even looks good. And he started talking to himself. And in the conversation, he said this. He said, my father's servants have it better than what I have. I think I need to go home. And thank God he listened to his own voice. Because he went home. And you know what happened when he went home? Daddy was standing there with open arms. And brethren, I'm here today to tell you, if you walked in here today unsaved, you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, you've got a sin disease. And that sin disease is going to kill you. It's going to destroy you one day. And through all eternity in hell, you'll be sitting there saying, man, if only I had touched the hem of his garment on that February morning when the pastor was preaching that sermon on talking to yourself. If only I had talked to myself. And I want to serve notice on you, folks. Although we can't see him with our physical eyes, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst thereof. And I want you to know the Lord Jesus is passing by here this morning. Would you talk to yourself right now and just say, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I think he'd help me. I guarantee you he'd help you if you just want help.